Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Desert Isolation Dis. Thanks for listening, it's very much appreciated. I'm delighted to welcome today's guest as he occupies the status of both a beardy musical icon and a good friend. As the frontman of Caketronica starlets Yuniyoshi, Rob has toured everywhere from festivals in Canada and Iceland to local gigs when he's been living in Nottingham or London, where he's originally from. Designer by day and an axe wielder by night, he's also played in other bands including Spaceships Are Cool and the ridiculously weird Revenge of Calculon. An East London resident these days, I tempted him west to have a natter in my front room. Hello, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me into your wonderful home.
One of my favourite people, so this is great.
Delicious dinner cooked for me downstairs as well. I can smell it.
This is the full Desert Isolation Dis experience. But as you're aware, we've catapulted you into the desert for this situation. I want to kick off with a key question, because, you know, your outfit as a frontman, your persona, as it were, is defined by two things: your visor,
which I'm not wearing.
You're not wearing at the moment. Your visor and your Flying V guitar.
Oh yeah.
Now, if you had to pick just one of those to take with you, which would it be?
Well, I don't know. A desert assumes that there's going to be quite a lot of sunlight around, so perhaps one of the more practical things would be to have a visor
to keep up
those rays. But I tell you what, I don't know. I'd miss not having a guitar with me, so I probably would take the Flying V. But it's an awkward thing to play. It's the only guitar you can't play sitting down. So
that's a very good point.
I don't know, really. But it would make, I don't know, firewood, if the worst came to the worst.
Have you tried to play it sitting down?
Yeah, you have to lodge it in your lap, and it's even worse than just like having it balancing awkwardly on something. Yeah, it's not. I think that's a good thing to have a guitar that you can't sit down and play, because it means you have to be at full rock mode constantly when you're near it.
So what are you kicking us off with today? I can't wait to hear your choices.
My first track is a banger. I would say it's one of my favourite tracks of all time, because it was really hard to put the list together, because it's, you know, 8 songs. This one is Buffalo Stance by Nana Cherry, and I guess the reason is, I suppose when I was little, I was trying to find my own way, trying to be as cool as my big sisters were. This is back in, when was it, 1988. So I was quite young. And this Nana Cherry's Raw Like Sushi album was around, and it was just amazing, blew my mind. And me and my friend Rob used to rap it in school, and it was kind of like a gateway, I guess, to what I did in adult life. We used to do the rap as fast as we could. To everyone else, it would have just been a noise. I think to us, we knew we were saying it word for word, and we were getting it down to like ridiculously short times. We just like, we knew we'd done it. We were just trying to wrap it the fastest that we could. Yeah, so it's strong links back to my school days, and just trying to be as hip as my sisters, really.
Well, I'm fancy hearing your version, but let's have a listen to Nina first.
Yeah. It should be better, I think.
Looking good today. Who's looking good in every way? No style, routine.
the wonderful Nina Cherry there. So, Rob, you were saying there about growing up in South London.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about it. What were you like? What was the young Rob like?
Probably just as annoying as he is now, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm. A shorter beard at the time.
Yeah, a much shorter beard. I had one, probably. I used to love getting in the bath and getting the old matey out and having the foam beard. Maybe that's that was a subliminal.
Did you have the same style of foam beard as you do?
I think I went full Santa when I was little. I think that's the classic way to go.
Yeah, so what were you like? What were you into as a kid? And so you had two sisters?
Yeah, older sisters, yeah. They're kind of big dancers, really. I don't mean fat. I mean, they were just really into their dancing. They both used to win lots of trophies. It was quite intimidating, really. You'd go into each of their bedrooms and there'd just be huge trophies
blinded
everywhere.
By the glint.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, how can I top this? These two. So yeah, they were pretty cool. My sisters, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't want them to know that, obviously.
No, absolutely not. Don't say it anywhere that it might be recorded in any way.
No, exactly. Yeah.
And so, what were you chasing a trophy in? Did you have any pursuits?
Oh God! Well, you know, I used to play a bit of football, but not to a trophy level, unfortunately. Yeah, hockey as well. I did get a few Man of the Match awards back in the day, but nothing as glamorous as a huge kind of 1 foot high silver trophy.
What's it like growing up in London? Because, you know, it's quite a very different place to, you know, a lot of people's experience. You know, they see childhood as this kind of small kind of part, as it were. So presumably it was quite different.
Where we were is pretty suburban. Mm. So it was. I think it's just the kind of classic. Everyone, all little kids don't really like where they live. They want to rebel and kind of get away from their kind of local area and stuff. We used to go out on our bikes all the time and BMX everywhere, and when it was all mountain bikes, going out on mountain bikes, go trekking through the woods. There were some woods kind of relatively near us that we'd always head off towards. It's always good.
A Rob in the woods. So what's your second track you got?
My second track is kind of related to family as well. It's The Model by Kraftwerk, and the reason why this is in here is because of my nan. My nan was a bit of a legend. From like a really young age, she used to make us kind of electro mixtapes, like Jean-Michel Jarre and Kraftwerk, and really kind of orchestral electro stuff. Kind of amazing pieces that I didn't realise would have that much influence on me until later in life. It's like, oh yeah, no, these songs are great. And there's a little kind of nugget that gets left behind, and you're like subliminally kind of drawing it, I think. And it's only when we got older, we used to swap mixtapes with her, and we used to do ones that were Acid House, and my nan used to love Acid House music. So she'd be sitting around the kitchen table like,
really?
Along to the Acid.
Fantastic. Had she always been into quite different types?
It was strange. She just loved all that kind of, like, kind of really freaky Devo kind of stuff as well. It's really left field. And she's kind of amazing.
Mm.
So yeah, she played the accordion as well. She's a tiny woman. I don't know how she managed to lift that thing. a demon.
Fantastic. Well, let's listen to everyone's favourite Germans. I'm sure your nan would have enjoyed that one then.
Definitely.
So tell me about your mum and dad then, Rob.
They're both from South London. Dad's from Croydon. He was a drummer in a jazz band.
Really?
back in the day. I didn't realise this until we went to a party around our neighbours, and there was a drum kit in the corner of the room, and he just picked up some sticks and like,
wow.
In a way, it's like, what the hell just happened?
Like, hidden superpower.
It's like, what is this? So, he'd never, maybe I'd just never been old enough to get into a conversation with him about it. But
yeah,
I mean,
it's funny, isn't it?
He doesn't really do that now. It must be, I can't even imagine not doing music or just, you know, having it as such an important part of my life and then just suddenly stopping doing it.
Yeah.
But my mum used to be a singer as well. She used to hang around all the bars in Sutton and Croydon, you know. And at the time she was young, there was people like Harry Webb kicking around in the coffee houses.
Yeah.
She used to call him the octopus. Apparently he was a bit more touchy back in those days. Would you believe it?
Oh, really?
Saintly now. But,
I see. Wow, I think that's a genuine scoop.
And she used to hang around with the Stones as well. Then when they were, the day she was with a group of guys who were in a band.
Mm.
And they used to share equipment. They used to do a few gigs around Sutton, like the Red Lion and all places like that.
Mm-hmm.
They'd kit share. This is before Stones were kind of famous. I think she even said she's got a reel-to-reel of her singing some vocals somewhere. So that must
be fantastic.
That needs to be dug out.
Yeah, somewhere. I was going to say, Rob, that's your future, right?
I don't know if it really exists or whether it's been confused along the way. But I mean, I would have thought she would have dug that out herself if that was as amazing as it sounds. But yeah, I mean, So they've had a good life, those two.
A musical dynasty in the house. That's incredibly impressive. Yeah. So did you play as a kid?
Not really. I think the thing that got me started was my sister got a guitar off of an old boyfriend, and I pretty much just nicked it from her.
Yeah.
And just strummed away and taught myself terrible chords, and thought I had invented how to play a guitar, really, because I'd never had any proper lessons.
Mm.
So, yeah, I didn't quite know what I was doing, but I was making sounds that sounded familiar to stuff, I hope, anyway.
Yeah.
And then, I got a little keyboard for Christmas as well, and that was fun, because my other sister had a Bontempi organ, and the classic orange with cream keys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful, And you could, when you turned it on, you could hear, like, air blowing through it as a real nasty piece of kit. But that was great. That and a crappy acoustic guitar was the starting point, I think.
From Tiny Acorns and all that.
Well, yeah.
So what's your third piece of music?
This one is a song called Polyesterday by a band called Gus Gus, who they kind of have a couple of different meanings to me, really. I got this album when I was at art school, so I was either in London or Leeds, I can't remember where I picked it up, and I only picked it up because of the artwork, because I was really into 4AD stuff, you know, like Barry and Throne Muses and all that, and all the Vaughan Oliver style design stuff I just loved. And this was one of the 4AD label bands. And it just so happened that I loved it when I played it, you know, that's the thing you did back in those days, you just found, you know, saw a record that you thought you'd like the look of, maybe, or a label that you liked, and then you put it on and you either didn't like it or you did like it. So, with this, it just so happened that I absolutely loved it. So I tried to find out more about it. This was back in 1996 or 1997, something like that. So it's kind of pre-available internet kind of days. So it was quite hard to find out information about these guys.
Mm.
It turns out that they're an Icelandic band.
Your favourite country.
That's it, and which, you know, 10 years on would have such a big influence on me, really. So it was kind of that's the kind of the two main reasons why it's there, really. So and they're playing at Airwaves this year, so I'm gonna try and go and see them.
Yes. Well, you're playing how many times yourself?
Only twice.
Okay. Yeah. Quite a relaxed one.
It wasn't gonna be any, but I've been persuaded, and it's enjoyable.
You can't keep you off stage. It's the best way to be.
Yeah.
That's great. Let's have a listen to it. Another way, Molly said today she'd find a excellent stuff. So Rob, I can't wait any longer to ask you about Yunyoshi, your baby, your band, fantastic band that Thank you're you. In with Anna and Jim and Rob. So you're the front man. What's it like leading a band and being up on stage? You know, it falls upon you to address the audience most of the time.
Well, it's kind of strange because I don't really like singing in front of people. I think I'm kind of a mixture between terribly shy and a show-off.
It's quite a wide scale, that one, isn't it?
But I'm either terribly shy or a massive show-off. There's nothing in between, really. And sometimes the vibe of the room really kind of kicks you in one direction or the other. And obviously it's much more enjoyable to show off and all that. But I suppose the most important thing about Yunyoshi is that it is a family. It feels like a family. And if I haven't had a good gig performing or like getting the crowd behind us, I really feel like I've like let my family down in a way. It's kind of strange. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's beautiful doing it with those guys. And it's so much fun getting together. It's really, really amazing.
Tell us how you formed and also describe your sound if you can. Caketronica, I think, is your phrase.
One of the many.
Which obviously tells us, you know, that we know exactly how it sounds, but just put a bit of flesh on that.
I suppose it started off with me and Jim and a sampler, and I think some of the songs later on in the list will kind of help to guide that kind of thing. But and we didn't really have much of an idea of what it was going to be or what it was going to do. We'd kind of just come out of another band together, which was slowly not existing, kind of fizzling out a bit. And we thought, we love this, let's get together. And Jim had just got a drum machine and I had a distortion pedal. And basically it was Jim playing a bass and me hitting a distorted drum kit for a while. Then I got a sampler and then we were mucking around with that kind of stuff. Then moving up to Nottingham was quite a big thing, really. That's where I met Anna, and we started singing at kind of acoustic covers of things, but we were mucking around with them quite a bit. It was like Kids in America and some Simple Kids stuff and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we were at this bar, Junction 7. It's not there anymore, sadly. No. I think it's going to be turned into some, it's going to be turned into some flats, but it was an amazing, beautiful venue, really, kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
in the grand
Canning
scheme of
Circus, Nottingham.
Grand scheme of Nottingham.
Yeah,
but people would regularly trek there, and we were doing an acoustic gig, and there was this huge guy with like chains, and he said, "Never stop what you're doing," and I think we were a bit scared.
Yeah,
so we decided never to stop.
It was
a band formed on a threat.
you've not run into him again, I presume.
Well, I don't know, he might find
us. He's obviously keeping an eye,
it's the thing that keeps us together, he's the glue.
And how unifying was it when Rob was able to come back to the band after his injury?
We've had some crazy ups and downs in the band, and that's only really brought us closer and closer together as a family. I think that's why it feels so much like a family.
Absolutely.
And we were never not going to have Rob in it. We'd either stop completely, find another way of doing it, or try and encourage Rob back. But Rob had a spinal injury. It was a non-cancerous tumour in his spine in the T8 level, so it's quite high up, really. And he became paralysed. But where some people would not want to continue, it kind of just made him stronger in a way, and it was amazing to see that. I don't think I'd be the same person. He's just it's kind of the shot in the arm, really. It seemed to drive him towards doing what he really wanted to do, and that's what he does now.
Yeah. So and an incredible musician.
And it's just amazing. And I chuffed the bits that I'm still kind of doing lots of, if not more, music with him now than I think. And I think it's strange now that I think I've known him for longer now. He's a wheelchair user than when he wasn't, really. So it's funny that.
But,
and he's, again, I wouldn't want him to to know that he's a bit of a hero, but...
Oh, I think he knows that.
But yeah, I mean, he's great, great.
So you're going to tell us a little bit more about Iceland, your favourite.
Yeah, oh God, yeah, bloody amazing place, really. So, and that's what the next song that is going to be on is from an Icelandic band who we met back in the day when MySpace was an actual thing. I mean, MySpace is probably one of the biggest things. I mean, there's lots of songs on this list, but it's probably more kind of formats, I think. It's quite an interesting thing because MySpace was a great platform for us, and it's where we kind of became Uniyoshi, really. We put on a song one day, and then the next day it was picked up by a sync agency and they wanted to stick it on a TV commercial, and that was the thing that kind of forced us into doing what we did, and perhaps in a bigger way than maybe we would have done, if you know what I mean. And it's also on there that we met this band called Blood Group, who later turned into an extension of the family, really. They're like our Icelandic family. And they've welcomed us into their homes. We've met their mums and dads, and it's been beautiful. We've been to stay with them up in Aosta, and they've taken us around their island and showed us some amazing things that perhaps we would never have seen. And it's just been a massive influence, and it's kind of my happy place to go to when I'm a bit stuck in life, and I can just remember some of the great times we've had out there, you know, with them, and also going around the island ourselves, hiring a car and seeing it for ourselves, finding the little thermal pools up in the mountains and hanging around the glacial lagoons and it's just such a beautiful place. It's I'd encourage everyone to go out there before it becomes kind of ruined by tourism.
So what are you going to treat us to?
This song is a song called Indefinite by Blood Group. It's one that's going to bring back some harrowing memories for me because it's what I use to go running. It's I can tell you that it's 1.5 kilometres long, this track.
So if you're running now, then Rob feels your pain. Great, let's have a listen. So we're drifting back from Iceland there, and you mentioned other Rob, as it were, and Uniyoshi isn't your only band. You're also in playing Revenge of Calculon, the fantastically named. For those who haven't seen them, they're missing out, but tell us about them.
Well, I think it's just erotic, I would describe it as. it's really strange. I'm one third of a duo, if that makes sense.
How does that happen?
Well, I'm doing some maternity cover at the moment, really, but it's kind of extended into...
You don't hear that often with bands, do you? I've
got maternity. They've got a freelancer in, so decided to... it's amazing fun, it really is. It's very sweaty, because it's instrumental... kind of dirty luchador funk electro nonsense that's basically a lot of dancing in a Mexican wrestling mask and an Adidas tracksuit. I've got a gig tomorrow. I need to be at soundcheck at 9:30 in the morning.
Right.
At Comic Con.
Oh, really? Amazing. That sounds perfect for you guys.
That's going to be funny. I've asked if I can have a cape.
Ah,
that's
brilliant.
The only embellishment to my costume.
How do you, when do you put on the costume? Do you walk around the gig like normally, and then, that stage persona is obviously quite important.
It's preferred that no one knows who we are, which is hilarious, really, when you think Rob's in it.
Yes.
He was going to start to get a ringer in the audience.
A ringer.
In a wheelchair. which I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
But I think the secret's out, really, for Nottingham anyway. But I think, you know, beyond that, maybe he can probably get away with it a bit. So he sits behind, like, a table with stuff on it, so you don't really notice it anyway. Mm. You just think he's sat down. And he does enough dancing from the waist up. And he's the most expressive waist-up dancer I've seen.
And you mentioned Nottingham there. Obviously, Unioshi and Spaceships are cool, and Calico are all sort of products of the Nottingham music scene. Do you feel like you were part of a scene, or are a part? I mean, obviously, you live
in
London
now. I'd
say
the one thing about the Nottingham music scene is that it's not really a scene, because it's not really the same. And this is the good thing about it, because it's not bands that all make the same noise. I mean, there were a few Jitbug kind of cover bands that were existed for a bit, but I don't know. I think they didn't really do very well, because the thing with Nottingham is it's about creating something new and interesting, and it's the real beautiful culture of that in Nottingham, of innovation and excitement. So I don't think it has to rely on a scene like Manchester did, where everyone sounded kind of the same and they had the same club and that all happened in that one place. The beauty of Nottingham is it could be anything, and it happens anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that should be celebrated more. I don't know if it's as recognised nationally, but I think it's becoming an exciting place to go. I mean, it's always been an exciting place to go and see, but I think it's becoming recognised as an exciting place to go and see music. And
some great venues, of course.
Yeah, I mean, amazing venues, great promoters. Not like in London where you get fleeced. They're people who genuinely care about the music and have an interest in it. And, you know, it's often that they own the venues where the things are happening.
Yeah.
So, it's a really great place. I kind of, now I've moved back to London, I do kind of miss it to a degree. But, it's an amazing place for music, and it's so well supported by the likes of Dean Jackson and music and all that kind of stuff up there. So,
yeah.
And Left Line, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic.
And I noticed Jumpers for Goalpost. I thought they got Ed Sheeran. But
I don't know what Ed's doing, but he stepped on our turf there. Jumpers for Goalpost being the craft night that we used to run in Nottingham is still going on in incredible style. And, you know, we brought it down to London, didn't we, Rob? And you,
manfully,
alongside me and Anna and Nathan and Tom, ran Come Get Felt Up down in London, which was the funnest
night ever.
Craft and gigs nights in the book club in Shoreditch. So it's still going on. So yeah, Sheeran, get off our turf. Exactly. So what's the next piece of music you got?
I'm just going to check my list. Oh yeah, it is the Robotic Samba program by Fonda 500, which Blood Group kind of taught me how to do crafting of music, because it was just a noisy mess, let's face it, poorly recorded before through my laptop. And they kind of taught me precision and production and all that, whereas back in the day, Fonda 500 taught me the most important thing, which is to have fun.
Yes.
And they are the funnest band ever. And I think, we managed to support them a couple of times, and I've chatted to them as well, Simon and Bod. And I didn't realise how ingrained into Nottingham Bod was. It was a revelation to me that everyone seemed to know her. And she was kind of approachable and nice and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, for me, they're always kind of up there with Beck and Graham Coxon and people like that. I think they're amazing musicians, and they just had the best time. And watching their shows was just so much fun. And just when I had the opportunity to chat to them, I was like, oh my God, I'm such a fanboy. It's really weird. So,
great band.
Yeah,
fantastic,
absolutely amazing band. Yeah.
Great, let's have a listen. Oh. Shall we get the doorbell in, Rob?
It's a beautiful doorbell.
It's a great doorbell.
I couldn't hear it from the outside.
Who do you think it's going to be? It's Holly and Tom, I think.
Is it? It sounded like Anna.
Well,
now that's Tom, isn't it?
What is it?
I can hear his radio voice. Oh,
yeah. That's Tom.
We got what you need.
So this is an absolute delight. I've got my first ever podcast audience. Mr. Tom Wally's in the room. Hi, Tom. You're
previous
right.
Previous guest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
this is a bit like Knotting Knots, where you'd have someone in the background, you can sort of hear a distant voice.
Just, yeah, do you want me to occasionally or chime in, or should I just shut up?
You can barrack, so, I think, you know.
I love the way you're casually leaning on that.
What the listeners don't know is that I'm currently on some kind of chaise lounge.
It's a picture of eroticism.
It needs to dangle a grape into your mouth, slowly.
It's like the last days of Rome. Rome's crumbling around us.
We shall fiddle along.
Carry on,
do you think? So, Rob, we've talked a lot about your creativity with music. But tell us about your career. You know, you're an incredibly creative guy away from the music side of things anyway, aren't you?
My job? I do a lot of colouring in.
Mm. Well, adult colouring books are all the rage now, aren't they?
Yeah, I saw one of Steve Zissou, mm-hmm. actually. That's good fun. You know, you can, if you want to colour in between the lines, you can.
Yeah.
Or express yourself and go outside them, you know.
What kind of guy are you? Are you an insider?
It depends on my mood.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I like to mix it up a bit, you know. I'm never one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, yeah.
But you've worked in Nottingham and London and...
So I work... I'm a designer in an ad agency. So that keeps me busy. It's an agency that does good, in a way. It's like... a lot of Public Health England stuff and all that kind of business. So, yeah, it's a great place to be. Really good environment to work in. Really nice people. So, I just did a piece for The Grocer.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, my former rival.
Really?
When I was at the Fresh Produce Journal. I hope they treated you well.
Yeah, someone with a very bad cold interviewed me on the phone the other day for an article that I'd done for them.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's about how the canned ale market is on the decline.
But was that definitely what they asked you? Because the cold could, you know, could have been canned nails. Or
well, I answered a different brief.
The inner design for Hello Thor Records.
Oh, this is true.
Talk about
this
that.
True. Yeah.
Sorry.
I did that. I did some colouring.
How did that come about? What links did you use there? Hello Thor being Tom's record label, I should add. So what's the next lovely piece of music you got for us?
The next piece is, it kind of came about because, again, as another platform that influenced my musical upbringing because of Napster and LimeWire and all those kind of illegal services.
It's so naughty.
Back in the day, you know, like I said earlier, it's expensive going out and buying records just on a bit of a punt, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, Napster and LimeWire at least gave you the opportunity to, like, experience lots of different types of music. I didn't go for the popular charts and all that kind of rubbish. I was digging around old library music, like the KPM stuff, and lots of really terrible Euro pop, as well as finding some amazing kind of things like Serge Gainsbourg and The Meters and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you dig down, you can find a lot of that stuff, and it kind of got me interested in that style of music, really. And because of finding all these kind of random, like Ennio Morricone stuff, the cowboy soundtracks and stuff, it kind of got me into picking the best bits of those, and that's where kind of I started with sampling, and that kind of was the birth of Uniochi in a way, because it was only me and Jim mucking around in a room, and we needed some kind of backbone to it, and they were solid sources of inspiration to kind of to keep us going. And then we'd find really tricky meters drum patterns and then take them to Rob eventually and say, can you play this for us? and that's kind of how all that started, really. So
yeah,
this track is Sissy Strut, which I think is one of my favourite meters tracks.
It's getting a nod from Tom Warren.
Yeah, it's a great track, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm getting
six music approval over there.
That's great. It's been rubber stamped.
So yeah, it's a great track. A lot of the meter stuff is just amazing as well. But yeah, this is my favourite.
That was wonderful. So Rob, tell us, while we're chatting upstairs in the you know, in the boys' area, Alison's downstairs. What music do you share with each other? Like, how big a part is music?
Well, back at, it's funny because it links into this song beautifully. It's like we'd almost planned that, but you know, we genuinely hadn't.
We genuinely this thing. I can always guarantee is unplanned.
Like easy listening. Back in, it sounds terrible, but, and I suppose it's a horrible umbrella term for an area which embraces such a lot of great music, from filthy soundtracks to from like the Vampiros Lesbos and Shul Madsen reports, all the Gert Wilson stuff, you know, to overheated Hammonds and French fried pop stuff. When we were together up in Leeds, we used to go to this club called the Lava Lounge, which is now, very sadly, it's the toilets of some super club. I don't think it could have been mistreated any more than it has been.
Exactly.
But we used to go there every Tuesday and listen to so much great music from the likes of Serge Gainsbourg and all that kind of stuff. Oh, just incredible. We'd dress up, we'd have cocktail cigarettes, we'd drink cocktails all night and dance in our flares and roll necks.
Wait a minute, how many years ago was it? Flares?
But it's an amazing club, and it was opposite my art college, and we'd go there at lunchtime, and we'd see all these amazing jazz musicians kind of play in there while we were just eating a chicken sandwich, and it was such an amazing kind of musical city.
Yeah,
back in those days as well. Mm. But yeah, this club was kind of the best kind of crossover that me and Alison have for kind of musical tastes. Otherwise, she's off with her like 90s garage and, you know, stuff that I'm not.
The way you say garage,
bit of disdain, you know,
tells you everything you need to know. So this next song,
it's a Requiem pour un con by Serge Gainsbourg, and he's a filthy poet. I love his work. He does such a range of music, from like beat to beautiful strings arrangements and stuff like that. Such a range, and his writing is amazing, lyrically and musically as well. And he's done so well for a guy who looks like him.
Yeah, exactly. He's
some amazing
to
women.
Have a reputation like that.
So he's a very confident guy, and his music is amazing. So, you know, to if I was a beautiful French woman back in the 60s, I probably would have fallen for him as well.
I can only imagine your life like that, Rob.
Les orgues, elle joue pour toi. Il est terrible, cette air-là. J'espère que tu aimes, c'est assez beau, non? C'est le requiem pour un con. Ouais, je l'ai composé spécialement pour toi, à ta mémoire de scélérat. C'est un joli thème. Tu ne trouves pas, hein, semblable à toi-même, pauvre con. Voici les orgues qui remettent ça. Faut que t'apprennes par cœur cette terre-là.
We have a huge studio audience for this. Anna and Nathan, I'm delighted to say, have joined us. And they have a little link to this this last tune, I believe.
And I think even you do.
Excellent.
And so, because it is
the family.
I don't think you could end a list of songs with anything other than this next track. And it's a song that always used to get played at the end of Come Get Felt Up.
By you.
by anyone. With any
whoever
decency.
Was behind the deck was basically in charge of putting it on. Yeah.
When we press play on the vinyl record.
It was always queued up. What is it, Rob?
It's All Night Long by Lionel Richie, of course. How else? How else can it finish?
Oh, dear. What does this bring up within you?
A mouth trumpet. Mostly. Every song should have an element of mouth trumpet and actions.
What is your number one memory of, you know, listening to this? Was there one particular felt up that you maybe had a toilet roll?
They drunkenly merge into They do into bit, each other, yeah. I think. I can just remember at the end, it's usually just us lot. At the end, in a circle, doing it.
Anna was probably trumpets. Already sweeping at this point.
Yeah.
Bore the brunt of that. Fantastic. Let's give it a listen. Shall we have another woo?
Woo! Yeah! Great podcast!
Indulgent. Rob, those were your Desert Isolation discs.
They were.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You seem like quite a dexterous fella. How do you think you get on in the desert?
I don't know. I'm quite baldy, so I think I'd probably burn quite badly. I don't know. What's in the desert, really?
Well, you. Tom Wally in a different area, you know.
We can all see each other, so we could probably... Is that allowed?
The idea is isolation, really. Oh, okay. So, well, I mean, maybe you could see, but not bant. Oh. So, you know, you could wave.
God, that seems that worse. Seems
I'm several days away. Very treacherous journey.
You're on the map, marked with an X.
Yeah.
Marked with a W. So we're very generous here on the podcast. We give you The Tiger Who Came to Tea and the complete Red Dwarf box set.
Okay.
You're allowed another...
Is that on DVD or...?
You're able to watch on whatever... It's actually on VHS, because I'm gifting you mine.
But I've got the player in the telly.
It's all sorted, yeah. It's not just a tease.
Thing. Here's something that you can't watch.
And likewise, we'll give you eyes to read Tiger Who Came to Tea. But you're allowed another luxury item. What would you fancy?
Oh, God, this is difficult. What would it be? And I can't have like a teleporter or something.
No.
I don't know. I haven't really thought of this. What did you say?
I think I brought a bike.
A bike. That's a good idea. What about in sand? That's tricky.
Your big tyres.
Oh, okay.
What did I bring, Alex?
Yeah, the bike.
It was a bike. Yeah. Bike.
I don't know. Maybe...
Sex swing.
Sex.
For a solo mission, it seemed.
I don't know, maybe a guitar, so I could I could soothe myself.
Yeah.
Or use it to shade my head from the burning rays of the sun.
But never sat down with the flying V.
No, it wouldn't be. It would definitely not be a flying V.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. Well, Rob, it only remains for me to say thank you so much for joining us on Desert Isolation Discs.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for cooking what smells like a delicious meal.
And thank you, Tom Wally, for joining us as our audience member. That's all for now. Thank you for joining us on Desert Isolation Discs. Any resemblance to any other podcasts, alive or dead, was purely coincidental, and join us next time.
Woo!